connected to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey, Doctor Who fans! Whovians, welcome back to Doctor Who at AfterBuzz TV. We're here to talk to you about the girl who died. Thank you so much. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can tweet at me throughout the week, throughout the show, at That Zach Wilson. Now, before the mids, they stop doing it, let me introduce you to my fantastic panel. No!
Hi!
They were bobbing their heads.
Yeah,
Deagle is here.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back.
Well, thank you. You can tweet at me during the show and throughout the week and throughout the life at Yell Teagle. That's YAELTYGIEL.
And I'm Tari J. Miller. You can tweet at me forever in the history of ever at Tari J. It's TauriJay.
You're putting a lot of faith in Twitter's IPO.
Yeah.
I'll keep it going. Even when it's dead, they can still tweet at me.
Yeah. All right, guys. This was a very highly anticipated episode, mm-hmm. to say the least. Mm-hmm. Mainly hinging on the guest star of Maisie Williams.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of... I think that it's safe to say there's a lot of crossover between Game of Thrones fans and Doctor Who fans.
Well, I think there are a ton of Game of Thrones fans throughout, like, the world. And even if you're not a fantasy fan, everyone loves Game of Thrones.
Yes. That's true. But I just mean, like, the people who are intensely into Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
The people who are, like, dissecting and, like, reading the books and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not a book reader. Just putting that out there for you people. No spoilers.
He means Game of Thrones in general.
Yeah. I read.
He's never read a book in his life.
I don't even know where to find them.
Let's not make fun of
what's
him.
Paper. I think Doctor Who fan base was like freaking out when this was announced. So this is a highly anticipated episode. What did you guys think? First reactions.
Okay, so through this episode, as it started and we saw the story, the like basic story unfold, I was like, if it is building up to the battle being the cliffhanger for next week, I'm going to be like upset, because that's not what Doctor Who is. Doctor Who is not where you build up and then right before the battle we cliffhang. That's weak.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, we're going to get to see the battle, so maybe this isn't a two-parter. But that means we only get Maisie for one episode. And then we get to the end and it's completely different, right? They like change the entire theme of the episode and I went, this is amazing. That was what happened to me during this episode. It was a whirlwind of emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was kind of in the same boat in that, like, it started out like a typical Doctor Who episode. Stuff's happening, then they meet some people and have to hang out with them.
Yeah.
And then, like, it resolved, and I was like, there's still 10 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in that last 10 minutes, you got so much meat and juice out of it. Like, it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had an unpopular opinion on this episode. I talk a lot about, in a lot of Doctor Who episodes, especially last year, they were episodes that I really liked when I watched them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more I thought about it, I started to, like, enjoy them less.
Yeah.
Like Listen is the big example. Like, when I first watched the episode, I loved it. And then I started dissecting it more,
mm-hmm.
once the season was done and all that. And I still enjoyed it, but I liked it less. This episode was very much the opposite, where I watched it and I left the episode, like, mildly, like, I was dissatisfied with parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I stopped and I thought about it, in my head, it just got better and better. Here's where the story of this episode, like, mm-hmm. the overall story, I loved. There's a lot of great points in it. I love, like, the stuff with, like, the Doctor questioning, like, what he can do. I think that has great depth to it, especially for just for that, this version of the Doctor, this character. But I felt that the writing and the direction in this episode left a lot to be desired. It wasn't up to par with what I've come to expect from Modern Who. It was choppy at times. There were some things that, like, I get that they were gags, but it just played weird. It played weird with the tone that we've set for this Doctor.
Could you give an example?
The moment when he's training them to fight with the fake swords and everything. That sequence just was, like, very inconsistent with what we've had this year.
Right.
And with, like, the way that the episode started off, because it started off feeling very similar with, like, Odin coming down and, like, or being fake up in Odin. The sky and all that. Yeah, that all, like, this is all, okay, this is all going, this is all very Doctor Who-y.
All right.
But it just, like, it got almost, it got silly in a way that, like, I'm trying to figure out the best way to, because, like, him riding in on a tank playing electric guitar is silly, but in a different way.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Because the Doctor was being silly, but the show took it seriously.
Right.
In this case, the show made it silly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, like, the yo-yo thing. Like, the Doctor would do that. Even this Doctor would do that. But it was presented so slapsticky.
Yeah.
That it just didn't read right to me. That said, I love the story, and I love what we're getting by the end of the episode. The last 10 minutes for me are amazing.
Right.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
It's just that first 45, it's that first two-thirds.
Right.
Yes. Are just like,
I think we kind of agree.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think the main thing about the silliness in previous iterations is that it was a layered thing. You knew he was being silly to hide something or for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, in this one, it just felt like it was there to just be there. Like, the writer in the midst of writing this was like, there's some heavy stuff. Let's throw in some jokes. And so they just kind of were put in there to kind of juice it up. Or not juice it up. Spice it up. I love the term juice. Juice is good term.
I like this exchange in the chat roll before we dive into the episode, because it just makes me smile. Ryan Witalison goes, if you overthink any episode of Doctor Who, you will find problems. And then Rennie Guima, I'm sorry, I don't know how to read your handle, but just says, Ryan, AfterBuzz exists to overthink shows. And that is so accurate.
Both of those statements are, like, 100% correct.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect. All right.
That should be our slogan.
Let's start out. I want to talk about
overthinking.
We haven't been around since the
90s. It doesn't matter. People have.
Yeah.
I want to start to talk about the Vikings and the Maiar.
All right.
The opening, how we get into it, is the Doctor and Clara are, like, we catch them mid-adventure, or at the tail end of an adventure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Clara's got, like, a bug in her suit. She's about to get eaten.
If we don't get, I'm going to say if we don't get an explanation, but we're not. Why do I even bother? I want to know.
What it was. Well,
I just want, like, story.
This would be a great point, and it's something I've never gotten into. I've read a bunch of them, but I have never gotten heavily into the Doctor Who comics.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a ton of them now. Once it switched over to, I want to say it's with IDW now, they picked up the rights, and they relaunched, and they're doing a 10th Doctor run, a 11th Doctor run, and a 12th Doctor run. Like, all going.
Okay.
And the 12th Doctor's one is with Clara. Matt Smith is with a brand new companion for the books, but it, like, fills in a weird gap that we don't go into in the show, which is cool. But I want to see, like, I want to know that I could go, like, to a comic. This would be the perfect transmedia place. Like,
right.
So I could go read this story. But they're not, if it's out there, I have to, like, I'll have to go digging
for
it.
You're such a transmedia kind of guy.
I'm such a nerd.
Yeah. I just think, so I know that when we had Matt Smith and he was with Amy, there were things that they would reference, like, oh, the phone charger being under somebody's bed. And then later we saw a clip of them under the bed and the phone charger being left. And it was, like, a very subtle throwaway thing. And I think, like, I want more of that. I want us to eventually get to a point where they see the bug that eventually gets into her spacesuit. Like, I just want it to connect.
Yes, you want a form of continuity, essentially.
Yeah. I get that.
Which is too much to ask for, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, with this show, I mean, that's what transmedia lives to do. It's fun, but, like, we have to know that it's there,
yeah.
and, like,
yeah.
believe in it. And the show needs to show faith in it, that it would allow it to run and be canon show.
From what I understand, that's not a thing.
No, it's not. but... So they get it. We don't know who the Volosians are.
Yeah.
Then we land on Earth so that the doctor can wipe the bug off his shoe.
Yeah.
As you need to.
Yes, of course.
And this is where we meet the Vikings. And we'll get into the whole thing about we're time travelers and ripples versus tidal waves.
Right.
Trust me, we're going to dive deep into that.
Ha! Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Water metaphor.
Nautical puns.
But so the doctor tries to pass himself off as Odin.
Right.
It's cute. It's fun. Yeah. I like that his choice of technology to show up. Well, hold on. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yep.
We snapped the sunglasses in twine.
I was so happy. So happy. I was like, good. Let's move on. Great.
That did feel like, obviously this was shot and written way before any fan reaction to the sunglasses was around.
Right.
But it felt like very like, oh, you don't like the sunglasses? Well, we're breaking them in half. Even though I don't think they're going anywhere.
No, yeah. I thought I read, and I may have made this up in my head, but I thought I read that the sunglasses were temporary.
We talked about it a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. that Moffat said the screwdriver is going away for a little while. He didn't really say. He hinted that the screwdriver will come back eventually because that's just the show,
right?
Right.
But he didn't say when. He implied that it might not even be the season.
I feel like now that the sunglasses have been snapped, can bring back the screwdriver.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, how hard could it be to repair the sunglasses? Really?
Yeah.
How hard is it to get a screwdriver and make it Sonic?
I mean, he has to want one, though.
Shh. Moving on.
The heart wants what it wants, yeah.
Look, he does look good in the shades.
Yeah, Capaldi likes to look cool.
And like, he does. He does look cool.
Yeah. But we get into the setup of the Vikings versus the Maiar as these two great warrior races. Wink, wink. More about that later. Basically, they're being harvested by the fake Odin.
Right.
Right.
By the Maiar.
By the Maiar. Yes. But did he ever get a... Did Odin get a name?
Fake Odin?
Fake
no.
Odin.
No.
I think we just call him fake Odin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's
Foden,
keep calling him.
If you will.
Foden. I like that.
Foden, indeed.
Foden. That's what he is now from here on out.
Yep.
Foden. Yes, sunglasses are cool.
I'm aware.
I can't believe we didn't make that joke earlier.
Oh, I heard it in my head and went, I'm not going to say it.
Ah, but I love it. So the big thing with this is like once they, like the Maiar take them up to the ship.
Yeah.
And like wipe out all the warriors is, should they run or should they stay and fight? And it's a classic like... Middle Ages mentality. Honor.
Right.
We fight for honor.
Well, before that, just I want to talk a little real quick about Clara's amazingness on the ship with Foden. It's just her. I love seeing her be strong and be a leader.
Yeah.
And seeing that, and there was a great little closer look for those who watched it on BBC America or follow the Tumblr. Jenna loved the idea of Clara having her own companion, and that scene was like her being the doctor with her own companion.
Yeah.
And it was just so fun to watch because the one thing I complain about when I complain about Clara is that I miss strong Clara, and there she was.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, the strongest we ever saw Jenna Coleman play her was her very first two appearances as the not Claras.
Right.
Yeah, and we've gotten little peaks of that, like in the Cybermen episode where she was essentially pretending she was the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time it was her being herself, doing her own thing. And she almost, like, completely, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, solve the situation. Yeah. If not for Middle Ages honor stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Back to Middle Ages honor stuff.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Thanks.
But so he's trying to figure out, like, the doctor wants them to run.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. Like, he thinks that that's just the best thing for history, mm-hmm. to not save these people. But then, of course, like, they are determined to stay.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Like, should they have run?
In my head, I started hearing, should I stay or should I go? Yep. Go on. That's all.
Okay. I mean, I understand, because this reminded me a lot of the Aztec episode, where it's like, it's the Viking custom to fight until death to get to Valhalla and die honorably.
The Aztec episode being the classic.
Classic.
Who, classic, like, who, yes.
Or the whatever. We'll
yes.
Just, yeah. I can't remember the name of it.
The Aztecs.
But. Yes, it was the Aztecs.
Oh, that's all it was. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, even I know that.
I don't know. In my head, I was like, is it the curse of the Aztecs? Or
yeah. So, like, telling them to run is essentially, like, go against everything that you believe
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But from a practical standpoint, I mean, of course it makes sense for them to run, because essentially the Maiar aren't going to chase them down. They're not going to weed through the millions of billions of humans that exist just to find the specific people that they will never see again and have never seen before. But it's those two conflicting things, because it's the practicality versus someone's beliefs.
Yeah,
yeah,
the Maiar reminded me a lot of the Centaurans.
Yeah, they did and they didn't, like, because
not, clearly not physically. Just so we're clear, they're not more potato people.
No, but like the suits were like this weird Iron Age version of the Jadoon.
Yeah,
is what
yeah.
it looked like. It was surprising when the helmet came off because mm-hmm. their heads were so tiny under there.
Their heads actually looked a lot like the Leviathans from Supernatural, for all the Supernatural fans. Mm. It looked a lot like that.
It actually reminded me a little bit of the Fisher King from last week.
Mm.
In that they were sort of like fish amphibian-like.
Yeah, they had leech faces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They both had, like, the Fisher King had, like, that big contraption
right.
over his head. I actually thought that that was his suit, not his body. Mm. But they reminded me of each other. Like, there was
right.
clearly, like, a similarness.
They felt yeah. very familiar, which is funny because they, I believe, are a new species we'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Right? So, like...
I'm 90% sure.
Right. Especially right. because he looks through his 2,000-year diary and is like, ah, I figured out who they are. But,
nice call to the
yeah.
to the 2,000-year diary.
Yeah.
But, like, they felt very familiar and they're new. And just... the thing that bothered me, I think, the most about his response to what the Vikings wanted to do was that the doctor is, I believe, usually a, like, let's try to find a peaceful way to do this kind of guy. And instead he was like, run or fight, I'm out of here. Like, you should run, but I don't want to deal with this. And I was like, no, doctor, try to find peace, even though they're a warrior race and you can't. That's what you do.
It was contrary to all of last season.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers are bad. I will never work with a soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now let me train you.
Well, I thought that the running was the peaceful situation.
Mm.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, because... And he didn't want to train them, because he made a point of saying that, like, if he were to make these people formidable, or if they were to defeat this race, then they would essentially make everyone on this earth a target.
Right.
You know, because it's like... I don't want to make anime references.
Just do it.
All right. It's like in Afro Samurai, the main guy with the number 2 headband is the main target, because he's the only one who can defeat the person. He's the only one who can challenge the one with the number 1 headband.
Mm.
So essentially you are creating a beacon for people to try to take you down, because you have made yourself out to be the strongest.
Tori, I was going to say nerd, but that was one hell of a reference. Good on you.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's both. Like being the leader in Mario Kart when somebody gets a blue shell.
Exactly.
I was going to say, it reminds me of the previous doctors who, when they fight and defend and win, they like to let the alien race know that this planet is defended.
Let me get this straight. You defeated the aliens and then brought them back for a scolding.
Yeah, guys, that's what I wanted.
All right.
That's all.
No, but it was
too much to ask for.
It was good. Foden.
Foden.
He was like harvesting Vikings and like other warriors for their testosterone. Like basically, he's just looking for HGH. He's looking for some like steroids.
Yeah, steroids hadn't been invented yet. Like that's, I think, the best part is that had he just waited a few hundred years.
Or maybe, like, as a space civilization that can travel interstellarly through the stars.
Technology.
Maybe right. They could have, like, figured out steroids. Muscle, like muscle-building drugs.
Well, you could synthesize it. Like, it's a collection of, like, chemicals.
Nectar.
Or they could just...
It's creepy.
...steal it from bodies.
Yeah.
That's true.
It works, too.
I mean, as far as the universe is concerned, Earth is a garbage planet anyway.
Yeah, what?
It made me, like, laugh that, like, it wasn't, like, the essence of a warrior. Like, he straight up was like, testosterone.
Yeah.
I need testosterone.
Right.
It's like, all right, bro. Yeah. Everybody relax.
We don't judge.
I mean, kind of. He's killing a lot of people. Yeah. I think we have the right to judge him.
I mean, I just don't judge people for their wanting of testosterone. That's what I mean.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
I don't judge. So
the way that he defeats them, this is one of the things. This is another one of the things where I'm like, where I just felt the writing was lacking a little bit. Because, like, I love the way that the Doctor discovers the electric eels. Mm-hmm. He can speak baby.
Yeah.
As we know, as soon as the baby started crying, my brain was like, he can speak baby.
I love the way Clara goes, he speaks baby.
Just, yeah.
In case you're all confused, he's speaking to the baby.
I turned to my girlfriend while we were watching this, and I literally said to her, he can speak baby. And then my words were repeated back at me from the television.
Is she not aware?
No, she is, but I just felt the need to say it.
To tell
it.
Her? Like, all
right. Because, you know, it's one of those little... Because it's only one episode, really. Or, I guess, two.
Two, but two. Also, it's kind of... It's a thing everyone's aware of. Like,
and maybe,
cool.
Maybe this is where we're getting little hints so that we can be reminded that Stormageddon's around so we can bring Stormageddon back as the new companion.
Hooray!
For those who don't know, that's Zach's crazy theory.
It's not even a theory. It's just a want.
Right.
I'll allow it.
Where do the electric eels come from?
The ocean?
But, like, it just, that was the thing, is it felt like...
Why do they have electric
eels? Why did the Vikings just happen to have a barrel of electric eels?
Two barrels
of electric eels. Like I said, I like the fire and the water thing and, like, the discovery of that. That felt really cool.
Yeah.
His discovery of it didn't feel like... cheating a little bit, like, mm-hmm. just like I'm trying to remember the term for it in writing when it just like you let it just and then this happens,
right.
and my ring part call it like and thens,
yeah. Right,
like it's like we're just walking along and then there are electric eels on the street, like, yeah. It's not connected logically, right. To what is happening in the story.
I'm gonna claim, just so that we have an answer that will suffice, the reason they had electric eels was it was a reference to How to Train Your Dragon, and because Toothless from How to Train Your Dragon kind of shoots fire like an electric eel. I'm gonna go with that.
Sweet.
There it is. It was a callback to How to Train Your Dragon.
I was just assuming they were big MGM fans.
Shut up.
All right. I like the bit. I want to keep this moving far. I like the bit with the phone and the Benny Hill.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's cute. Good. I mean, Benny Hill makes everything silly. But when you're fighting a puppet that...
Yeah.
A shielder. A head made, and, like, I like... And we're about to get into her storyline, so I'll save the end discussion of that little end. But they defeat everybody. They defeat the Mire, and then they use the smart way to do it. So it was cool. It was interesting. I like embarrassment as a way to win.
I also like the idea of using modern technology against their modern technology.
Right.
And I like the use of phones. Yeah. I really like it.
I don't know. It's funny. Cyberbullying isn't a good thing I'm into.
Yeah, totally. It's 100% cyberbullying. Yep.
But is it cyberbullying if you're cyberbullying the bully?
Yeah. It's still cyberbullying.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a revenge cyberbully.
Okay.
It's still bullying.
Seeing as somebody who's not getting bullied in this episode, let's talk about a shielder.
Yeah.
Maisie Williams. Yeah. Basically just playing a less twisted Arya Stark.
Right.
If Arya Stark was poor and hadn't had
her spoiler
right
stuff.
Spoiler. I'm saying if Arya was living with a commoner as opposed to like a lord.
And
didn't have the skills because she didn't have the brothers.
Yeah, right. I think that was also what put like a sort of a sour taste in my mouth to start off, is that this felt like, and I know that we're building somewhere new with the twist at the end,
right?
But like it felt like you couldn't think of anything new for Maisie Williams to do. Like she's a great actress. Right. I was hoping to see her do something to the
which
different.
We will.
Yeah,
yes.
which we will.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like I was like, all right. Putting her generally same kind of outfits. All right. I get it. She's Arya. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But she's very much, just like Arya, she's very much like brash and like willing to charge into battle. Like straight up, she's just like, it felt like I could have transplanted it into Arya. It's like, you'll pay for what you've done here today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I am a Viking, a shielder, daughter of Einar. You have mocked our gods.
Wait, see? Okay, so that's why the first time she says her name, I thought she was saying she's a shielder. They make shields.
Yeah, if I didn't have the captions on, I would have just completely disregarded it.
Shielder as opposed to a hydrer.
Go on. I'm ignoring it.
All right, sorry.
I've got it. Go on.
But there's a lot of supernatural stuff around her from the very get-go.
Right.
And not just the, as I think Andrew Fedge on Twitter put it, the immortality cracker.
Yes.
Which I love. It's my new favorite thing. thank you, Andrew, for that one. But so at the top, the doctor has this sort of deja vu when he sees her, as if he's seen her before, he knows her.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then she starts talking about, we hear her talk about she had a premonition of all of their deaths when all the Vikings return.
Yeah.
She dreamed that they all died.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 minutes later, they do.
Right.
She thinks she's bad luck. She feels different from everybody else. This is all before she's become an immortal.
Right.
What's your guys' take on that?
Go ahead.
I think that in my mind, this is kind of goes back to the ripple versus tidal wave thing, and that she is constantly being affected by the ripple that is about to be created.
Mm.
And so the doctor feels that sense of deja vu or that sense of knowing because he's in tune with the anomalies in time. And so I think that hits him initially, and it also is kind of affecting her because it hasn't happened yet, but it's one of those probability things, and she might be in tune with the wavelength of time as well. Especially now that she's an immortal, it might be just kind of rippling all throughout, like in the same way that the cracks were.
Oh.
Okay, so just by being an immortal, she's so affected by time that, like, the doctor does, the quote is, people talk about premonition as if it's something strange. It's not. It's just memory in the wrong direction.
Right? Yeah.
So it could be that they are so entwined. Like, there's a lot on this show about how people's, the time travelers especially, how their lives are intertwined at fixed points that they must affect. And fixed points are a big thing in the theme of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that stands to reason, I think. think that you're right on with that. Right.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was still in the mindset of everyone's theories via the interwebs. Theories that she is River, theories that she is Jenny, theories that she is Susan. So as she's talking about these premonitions and, you know, what's happening to her and how she feels different, I was like, who is she? Who is she? Who is she? And then I was really excited when it, like, in the end with the last 10 minutes, what we saw and where we went with it.
Yeah.
I was very excited because she is new.
Yeah, Moffat
so
told
far, she is new.
Moffat told the truth.
That's why I said so far.
Yeah, so far. See, Moffat's been telling the truth. Moffat's actually been telling the truth on a lot of things recently.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I think he's gonna have. There's gonna have to be a big lie soon, or we're just gonna start trusting him too much.
Right,
and then he's gonna.
And that's real dangerous.
Yeah,
real dangerous. But she's a story. She's also a storyteller.
Yeah.
So like giving a storyteller immortality. Somebody who has that sort of the loneliness of a writer, felt very real. Like this is a character who has depth to her. I wish that the episode had spent more time really getting to know her as opposed to just these like sort of loose facts about her.
Right.
I agree.
That was another thing I felt that the episode sort of missed the mark on and could have done better. In older episodes of just Modern Who, like I'll just use Blink as an easy example. In that episode, the characters that we spend the most time with in that episode are not characters we're ever going to see again.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, not 10, 20 minutes into that episode, we are on the edge of our seat caring deeply about the safety of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
We want them to succeed. We want them to be safe. We want them to find each other. In a lot of episodes, we connect with characters very quickly.
Yeah.
That we want that we are afraid for their safety, even though we don't care. We don't to ever see them again after the mm-hmm. episode. And I thought that this episode sort of lacked that. I didn't care about the other Vikings.
Yeah, like, even the guy who has the baby, I was like, yeah, I don't care about him.
Did anyone else think he looked like a roided up Rory?
Yes.
He did. Yes.
I'm really disappointed that he didn't nickname him Rory.
I think that I'll bet you they cast him. He looks a lot like Rory, but he's good. So just don't call it out.
They should have just called it out. It would have been totally fine. It'd be like, you remind me of Rory. I'm calling you Rory. Moving on.
I like ZZ Top.
Yeah, ZZ Top was a good one, and Heidi was also a good one.
That was fun. But like I said, we didn't get to know these people. Like if we'd seen their loss from like with the people that they left, like they were just sort of like vaguely mad about losing their warriors, but mm-hmm. It never felt like they lost family.
Yeah.
It felt like they lost their army that protects them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think it's mostly because the emphasis of the episode was on the Doctor's burden and what he's been going through and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Like taking Blink, for example, we didn't get a lot of Doctor time, so it let us build those characters. But this one, it's like they're stationary, or not stationary, they're like furniture to his troubles in this episode.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, somebody's saying, Zach is cold. Like, I'm not cold, I want to care. I just I didn't get these were extras, not people.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, whoever thinks you're cold, tell us who you felt for that wasn't a shoulder.
I mean, and the truth is, I didn't feel that deeply for, other than the fact that I was intrigued by her,
right.
And because it's Maisie Williams, I have an outside connection to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't particularly connected to her character, anything specific about her character.
And we didn't care about her dad. Like, we didn't care about anybody.
I will say that I did care about the baby because we spent the most time hearing about the baby and its fears, and it was the most vulnerable to
mm-hmm.
us.
Yes.
And it was the one thing that made the Doctor stay. And I know this is dark for a television show, but if the baby would have died at the end of the episode, I would have been like, yes, that is motivation for things to happen. Maisie Williams was there, and we love her, yes. But her passing wasn't as meaningful to me. But if the baby would have died in some way, shape, or form, I would have been affected.
I'll say this. If a shoulder had died, I would have been although I really like where we're going, I would have been very okay with it because so far, all season, it seems death has been inconsequential. I mean, aside from last episode where we lost a few shipmates.
Mm. Yeah.
It's inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that Doctor Who always has suffered from a little bit. Any sci-fi show has some suffering from. But you're right. Consistently this season, we have seen a lot of characters, quote-unquote, die,
mm-hmm.
and then not die.
Right.
I mean, like, right at the top, Clara and Missy.
Yep.
Die. Now, in that moment, I didn't believe for a second.
No one believed for a second.
But Missy, at, like, just from the last end of last season, yeah. like, again, like, I, even after during that episode, I think, on the after show, I was like, she's not dead. There's,
right.
there's no way. So we've gotten a lot of death fake-outs. It has been a running theme, though, so I wonder if that's going to come back. There's been a lot of consistencies across these first five episodes. It feels like three because it's two-parters.
Right.
But
there's been a lot of consistencies. There's a lot of, like, Arthurian legend stuff that mm-hmm. people have been calling out, and now we're in Viking times again.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see where they go.
Yeah.
With it. Speaking of where they're going, we got to go into the past a little bit.
Yeah, I was so happy. I mean, I was also really heartbroken.
because we got well, the whole theme of the Doctor's sort of arc in this is the question, basically, is it okay to change the events in time? Classic Doctor Who question.
Yeah.
Right.
But something that he is always struggling with and always coming up with a different answer to. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of his own personal existential crisis that he will always have to handle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one review. I want to say it was on IndieWire. I think it was on IndieWire.
Okay.
And they were saying that. I lost it.
Well, you think about it.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote in the comments, I think in the chat roll when I checked earlier, they said, how dare you go back and save a shoulder? Go back and save O'Donnell. I think that's great. I think that's really great. I mean,
yeah.
He last episode was like, nah, I'm gonna let him die. But this episode, and so far all the other episodes, is like, no, I can do something. But I did like going back and seeing the face and tying it back to the first time we see his face.
Mm-hmm.
But I also liked that we brought back Donna for a minute. I got so emotional.
Oh, yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Like, how dare you bring her back to us?
Yeah.
I miss her so much.
Well, that's the big... I mean, that's his big thing is, like, in this question... Oh, this was the point, is that, like, the Doctor is now forced to be the only one to decide if it's okay to change this, to save this person, to make this action change. Like, every episode he saves somebody. Like, if he hadn't happened to travel to that point in time,
right.
It would have all turned out differently.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so it's sort of like, just like we talked about the bootstrap paradox, like, if he didn't save, like, he knew what the history was.
Right.
So this alien attack wasn't supposed to come in history there. So he stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was only history because he stopped it.
Right.
So he created it and it goes in a circle.
Yeah.
And that's just the Doctor's life. But it used to be for him that the Time Lords were the one who would decide that.
Right.
And, like, might punish him if he did too much or trace him down and try to stop him if he was out of line.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody do that anymore. He's... the end-all decision lies with him. And so the face, like, I love that we're getting into that because, like, Moffat just knows the fan base is, like, we get that it's, like, you just wanted this particular actor that you happened to use once or twice before.
Yeah.
But we're, like, I like that he built in an explanation.
Right.
I was already past it. Like, I'd accepted it.
I could have left it at what we got in Deep Breath.
Mm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
When Capaldi, like, here's the thing. I love what we got in this episode. I also would have been fine if we never addressed it again.
Right.
I thought deep breath, just acknowledging it for was enough for me. The implication that he could pull this face from somewhere.
Right.
Also the implication that, like, Matt Smith and David Tennant and, like, Chris Brackleson, anybody could just pop up as a random person because, like, that's where he got the face from. This side.
But no, I agree with you. I also thought, like, I was totally like, okay, it was acknowledged. They said, hey, I know this is a familiar face, but when they brought it back, and he remembered that he had said that in that episode, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, we're tying it together. And then seeing Donna, and then it was a very nice, like, tying this all up. But his deciding of who lives and who dies without the timelines really reminded me of, was it Waters of Mars?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one where he changes a fixed point. Right. As he, mm-hmm. Like, the doctor decides, like, that was a fixed point, and he alters it.
He says, I am the Lord of Time.
I am the oncoming storm. But he, just like Fires in Pompeii, he decides to change events and save just this one person. I miss Donna. It just reminded me how much I miss Donna.
Yeah.
And so he the immortality cracker.
Which I was so excited because my mind went, wait a second. This means we can have Jack back.
Tari, go ahead. Tari, go ahead. I'm about to go into a different area. Oh,
okay. I was just going to say, I felt like this was his way of never bringing Jack back, in that, like, she's our new version of Jack.
But she is very different from
Jack. She's different in personality, but in concept. It's like, you like pancakes? Here's a waffle.
Well, so here's the thing. We got in this... it was very much the mm-hmm. prophecy, like the prophecy that Davros talked about. Two great warrior races combined to make a hybrid that will. Destroy.
I don't recall.
I don't actually know if he said it was going to destroy anything.
Chat roll. What was it to do?
Yeah. but it was just that there will be a powerful hybrid of two great warrior races. And somebody on Reddit was, like, listing off, like, all of these other hybrids that, like, what if they all came back and played a part in the finale? We know that River is coming back at the end of the season. River is very much a hybrid.
We know she's coming back for the Christmas episode.
Okay. In my mind, Christmas episodes are finales because they're the end of... Lately, they have been more or less finales. Yes. But yes, River is back for the Christmas episode, and she is a Time Lord human hybrid in a weird, like, TARDIS way, where she's born of two humans. Yeah. But yeah, right. We just saw Donna again, who is a hybrid in a different sort of way, very similar to River,
Dr. Donna.
Yeah, Jack Harkness is a semi hybrid, like he's some alien. Thing. Wasn't he from another planet?
No, he's human from the 51st century.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
From the Beauchene Peninsula.
Oh, but he's from another planet, I thought.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes him an alien.
No, but he's human when they expanded and took over other...
Maybe he doesn't live here anymore.
So. That does... Okay, go on.
He's a human colony. He's from a human colony.
Anyway, because of his immortality, he could be considered a hybrid. Yes, I don't. That one might be pushing it. And then there's Dalek Sek.
Yeah.
What if all of these things came back together to do? I don't know.
To do something.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I would be so happy with all of that. Bringing back Dr. Donna, bringing back River is great, sure. Yeah. Bringing back Jack, of course. Jenny, I would say, is also a hybrid.
Oh, yeah, but I'm pretty sure the show is pretending that never happened.
Because the doctor married the doctor's daughter and the doctor's daughter, but she's really the doctor's daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
No, I'm pretty sure they're ignoring it because, like, having that, like, semi-Time Lord out there is, like, muddy.
Right.
With, like, the whole Gallifrey and Lone
Time Lord. The last of the Time Lords, right.
Yana, you are not alone. Missy, going on. Sorry, I'm so excited to talk Doctor Who that it's just all falling out.
A League of Hybrids, Lucas Garrett says.
I would be so into it.
But, like, I mean, people have been calling for Jack to come back. I know he's busy with Arrow.
He's busy with Arrow, yeah. And Barrowman has said many times that he would absolutely love to drop everything and be there. I believe the other side of that does not agree that they would not like him to drop everything and join them.
Right. Yeah.
That is what I believe is happening. But I will get answers for people.
Yeah.
Will you now?
I will.
All right.
We'll talk about that and when we get to the end.
Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
I'm very intrigued. the big out is, and I want to discuss this as like a theory before we get into predictions and stuff. Although, yeah. Do you guys have anything else in this episode? I think I'm just going to save it for predictions.
Let's go to predictions.
Okay.
Any other favorite moments or lines before we...
I mean, I guess we touch upon this every week because it happens every week, but the Doctor and Clara having this little spat about her hobbies and her becoming... What he's making her into, essentially.
I have a duty of care.
Yeah.
Right.
As a big plot point. Like, they very mildly touched on it and, like, didn't bring anything really new in this week, but there is a theory out there that... Let's move into...
Predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, there is a theory that, like, this is the kind of thing that could get Clara killed. She's becoming reckless. And then that's sort of my prediction. It's like, she's going to become so involved in, like, being the Doctor. She wants so badly to be the Doctor.
Yeah.
That Clara may get herself killed for it. And if you look at the preview for next week, Clara is nowhere to be seen. I don't know that meant that I'm not saying she's going to die next week, but she's not in the preview, which has big implications potentially.
Or she's at school teaching.
I
noticed that as well. And I think it's just so we can draw more focus to Macy Williams, just because like having two companions or two like side chicks. Nope. Two companions. It kind of like makes it harder to kind of give focus.
I disagree so much.
Do you?
I found this every time the show has two companions, I find it so much more interesting and so much more balanced and fun. Because when you had Jack and Rose, when you had Rose and Mickey, when you had Amy and Rory, those are some of my favorite
Donna
times.
And Martha. For like that one woman with the doctor's daughter.
Right.
I mean, like, there are companions that can carry it on their own that were great on their own.
Yeah.
But I think there's just something special about when you have two people because it just brings in a third perspective. Yeah. And the perspective between those two people and what is their relationship in with the doctor as this, like, either teacher or third wheel or best friend or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I find it so interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I hope they go back to it. Yeah, what are you predicting? We should also be predicting about Maisie Williams because we have that amazing 360 shot as she like aged through the years.
Right. I'll say this. I don't have any predictions. I'm just so excited because this whole episode, I was like, nah, this stupid Viking story, nah, whatever. And then all of a sudden, she's immortal and we're jumping through time and she has the immortal cracker to give to a partner. Like, well, I can't wait. I just can't wait to see what happens.
I mean, it was very much the doctor's move. Like, if you're going to be immortal like me, you need a companion.
Which I think is, at that moment, I went, oh, Jack's not coming back.
No. Take your waffle.
Yeah.
Jack's not coming back. What if she met Jack?
Then
what
she wouldn't need the waffle, the cracker.
Thank
you. All right, very nice. I have a prediction about Macy Williams' character.
Yeah.
I don't think it will be her, but I think that she's going to become the Minister of War that was mentioned in the last two episodes. I think that having lived this long living forever essentially will make her a really hard character. And so she will become like the Doctor's Vandal Savage in that like she's going to become this warmonger that's has so many years of hatred and sadness underneath her, thank you.
Sorry.
That she's going to be something that he has to put down.
Ah, I like it.
I like it too. Last thing, I want to throw out a wild prediction.
Yeah.
crazy out there, and I'm acknowledging that up top. There's that point where the doctor's like, I'm the doctor, and I save people. And if anyone's listening, and you have any kind of problem with that, to hell with you. Mm-hmm. In my mind, this just started this like rolling snowball of what if this is the doctor just saying, like, to hell with the time rules that my people have created. And he starts to go so crazy with his changes to like time and things.
Yeah.
And he's already questioning this episode, but what if he just went all out nuts and was like, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And whatever that means, I know best.
Mm-hmm.
What? But that
Thank
builds
you,
to a point
audience.
Where Gallifrey has actually been listening in. And they just decide, because Gallifrey, as established in Matt Smith's last episode, they can come back. They have the ability to come back mm-hmm. into this universe through the crack.
Right.
But they've decided that to let the doctor be the one who decides whether it's safe or not for them to come back. What if they can communicate with this universe mm-hmm. because they sent the time energy
right.
through so mm-hmm. he can regenerate. What if they're listening and they decide, this guy's going crazy. It's gone too far. Forget the dangers. We have to come back. And they just come back to stop the doctor.
What an epic prediction.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
I love when you have crazy theories.
Exactly. But yeah. And so that's the last of my predictions. All right. Any other thoughts, guys, before we head on out of here?
We didn't do shout-outs today, but...
We didn't do shout-outs. I apologize. We will make sure to get to them next week. We're out of time.
Yep. And I just want to give a shout-out to Patrick, who I got to meet in New York Comic Con. Shout-out to Patrick. That's all I want.
All right. Anything else that you're...
Oh, yeah. So I won't be here next week because I will be at London Comic Con. That's right. If you're in London, come say hello. Moffat will also be there for Sherlock.
Nice.
So I will ask any questions people send me that they legitimately want me to ask Moffat. I will ask him anything you want, within reason, guys.
Right.
Like, about the show.
Oh, I wanted to know what size shirt he wears.
Okay.
I'm so jealous.
So I'm going to let everybody know that you know where to find me.
All right. Well, guys, that's, I think, going to do it for this episode of Doctor Who, the Doctor Who After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. We'll be back talking next week about The Woman Who Lived. No spoilers about with these titles at all.
Yeah.
Until then... Tari Miller, where can the people keep up with you?
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. It's TauriJay. You can also find me on other AfterBuzz panels like Flash on Tuesdays and Arrow on Wednesdays.
Oh, awesome. I was like, is there more to that? You can find me online at yell.tv. And if you are in London, I expect to see you at the Excel Center this weekend for London Comic Con. I will be there. Come say hello. I have prizes. Also, send me via Twitter questions for Moffat and anyone else who's going to be there at Yell Teagle. That's YaelTygiel.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And a whole bunch of stuff here at AfterBuzz, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, The Leftovers. And this week, if you're a fan of time travel, which I know you are if you've made it this far through the podcast, this Wednesday, as you may well be aware, is October 21st, 2015, the day that Marty and Doc Brown arrive from the future. And we here at, on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, we'll be doing a watch-along with Mark Donica, who's our engineer in the booth tonight.
Liar.
that was him. That was him. At Soapbox Mark.
Yeah.
At Soapbox Mark. But we're going to be doing a watch-along, so you can join us as we just, like, watch on YouTube and you queue up your DVD and watch right along with us. Back to Futures Part 1 and 2. That'll be Wednesday morning. Guys,
Yay.
Until next week, I'm Zach Wilson. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.